The following programming is sponsored by Amendment 16 Limited. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to episode 189 of the Pennsylvania Project. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania and to relentlessly pursue correct solutions. But more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, no matter who is in charge. We have another philosophical episode planned for today, and like all episodes of the Pennsylvania Project, it's typically divided into three parts: you, them, and me. Part one is all about you, your questions, your opinions, your solutions, your whatevers. And rather than a call-in format, we utilize an email-in format. So if you have something to say, you can always drop us a line at pennsylvaniaproject.com. After the you part comes part two, the them part, where an episode we will host a guest to help showcase those political, cultural, and or environmental issues facing Pennsylvania. And then after that comes typically the me portion of the Pennsylvania Project, where it'll be my turn, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Well, I'll be focusing on some particular issue that really sticks in my craw. However, like last episode, today is going to be another unusual one because we're skipping all three of those segments and doing something completely different instead. And the details to come. But one thing that has not changed is that throughout the show, as is our long-established custom, we'll be featuring a Toastmaster to serve as narrator to read our live commercials. I can talk. Today's narrator is making his second appearance on the Pennsylvania Project.
Wow.
He is Michael Janone from the FAA Club in Atlantic City. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project, Michael.
Well, thank you, Ken. Nice to be here.
Well, you don't know any better, do you? Well, you're here once, now you're gone.
Fool me once.
Yeah. What did you think of your first experience?
It was great. It was great. I really liked the part about figuring out if you're solving the right problem.
Uh-huh. You know, I had a good one on that coming up. I guess I'm not going to give it away because there's somebody who has a gun solution. It's a correct solution, but not to the correct problem. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project.
Thanks again.
And another thing that hasn't changed is that we have another ancient custom where we feature a Pennsylvania Toastmaster. I don't know, you're not Pennsylvania either.
Nope.
I'm just losing it here. Anyway, she's here to read and help respond to whatever comes into our mailbag and join in on discussions with our guest. Except that today we have neither mailbag nor guest. Regardless, it's a role that we call cohort, and today's cohort is making her 21st appearance on the Pennsylvania Project, more than any other cohort except one.
One?
One, Donna Herb, of
the
course.
The most experienced cohort.
Donna. Well, wait a minute. You can't say most experienced because there are
She's been around 30?
Yeah,
30 cohorts?
30 like,
cohorts.
Yeah, something like cohortings.
And I've done 21 cohorting. Let's go to Atlantic City.
Yeah, but see, one thing you said, though, it's not necessarily true. She may not be better than you because I know Toastmasters who have, they've been a Toastmaster 20 years,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have 20 years experience. They have 1 year's experience 20 times over.
Mm.
So they're really not that
something
good.
To think
yeah,
about.
I'm not going to mention any names okay. here. I'm a Toastmaster.
Well, thank you, Ken.
Anyway, I have not introduced you yet. People don't know your name. I said you're making your 21st appearance more than any other cohort, and we went off on Donna and everything else and this other guy. And anyway, what was your name? Yeah, good old, that's her name, never forget her. Margaret Sassouni, past president of ETS Toastmasters and cohort extraordinaire.
Yay.
Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project.
Thank you.
21st appearances, that makes you old enough to drink the Pennsylvania Project Kool-Aid. I guess you already have since you're here.
Bartender.
So, yeah, some people don't know. Our 200th episode is coming up fast.
Yes.
Remember, 100 was a real blast. We did shots around the table here.
No, I wasn't here for that. I think I was remote.
Yeah, we even had the station manager here.
So you had some, like a singer, some people are singing.
Well, yeah, Donna was singing.
Donna was singing,
We had a lot of people. Well,
yeah.
We had our first guest, Siddharth Paratkar, son of Amkar.
Amkar's son.
Yeah. He was our first guest, 17-year-old Toastmaster.
Good for him.
Yeah. So that one was a real big deal. So what are we going to do for 200?
Shots.
Yeah, we'll do shots again. Reset the...
Meaning like what the program's going to look like.
Yeah.
Have Mark back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
is he going to come back?
Mark Bazzacco, our producer.
Yeah.
You know, I just got word today.
Yes.
His woman is pregnant.
My God.
First one. Yay. And they're expecting in April. Right around Mark's
they're
birthday.
They're expecting in April.
At least she's expecting in April. He's anticipating, I think.
That's wonderful. I'm so happy for him.
I'm not sure what the woke terms are because I'm still asleep.
Yeah, they're expecting.
Yeah. We're going to be going up. Yeah, we're going up there this weekend. We're going to pay him a visit.
Oh, you're going
to
see
him. Mark moved up to the Poconos. Mm-hmm. So, do you know what? I'll take my broadcast quality equipment with me.
And?
Yeah, we'll do a show
from there. A show from there?
Yeah.
Nice.
We'll get
it.
She's not a Toastmaster, though.
Oh. But you just need Mark.
Yes, we need Mark. We need him back here. Things fell apart. We went from an hour-long show to a half-hour show.
I like the half-an-hour segments. They go by quickly, and then you cover a lot.
Well, that's what I don't like about them, is they go by quickly, and you can't cover a lot. So we did break that rule once. It was a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
When we had Jim Boswell and Ben, his last name's escaping me, Ben Wallace. Both of them were blind. So
really?
A blind cohort and a blind guest.
I love that.
And I tell you, listening to the two of them go back and forth, and it was very, very educational.
I have some catching up to do.
And that was episode 184.
184, not too far behind.
But we did an hour-long episode just to fit that in. We got papal permission from the station to extend and everything.
That's nice.
Because I wanted to make sure we had enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can get one of them back.
Yeah, why not? I'm sure they had a great experience.
I hope he can see his way through to being here. All right. Time to get philosophical.
Oh, no.
Yes,
really?
Yes.
Okay. I need a tequila.
Last episode. Well, I got my Jack
water. You got
water
your water there. Yeah.
Previous episode, 188, to be precise, we focused on one topic, just like today, leadership.
Leadership.
And with us that day was good old Donna Herb, our longest serving cohort, who has 30 episodes under her belt, 10 more than you.
Ten more.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And she used to be my boss in a former life.
Yes. That's right.
Add to that the fact that she's also a longtime Toastmaster. That makes her doubly capable of discussing leadership.
Leadership, yes.
Because as we learned from our commercials at Toastmasters, is famous for not only communication skills, but also leadership skills.
Leadership.
So, and Margaret, you've never been my boss. Not yet, anyway.
No.
You try and boss me around, though.
No, but we were both officers at one point at ETS Toastmasters,
I was an ETS Toastmaster president.
So that catapults you into a leadership role as soon as you're an officer.
Yeah. And I've been a Toastmaster a lot longer than you.
Okay.
And I served as president of three different clubs,
right.
Thank you, so far. And I've also run for governor of Pennsylvania three different times so far.
Yes, you have.
I'm an entrepreneur. I've run my own company for 33 years.
And how many patents do you have, Ken?
Three patents. A lot of threes here.
And how many daughters do you have?
Three.
Three.
Oh, my goodness. What's my lucky number?
A lucky number.
No, nine's my lucky number. Oh. Well, it's three squared.
How about that?
Yeah. Number nine.
Cube.
Anyway, given the depth of the background of the leadership skills that the both of us have. Mm-hmm. I thought we'd clear the decks once again today because there's a lot that Donna and I didn't cover.
Oh,
so you and I can focus on one single topic again, leadership.
Leadership.
Between the two of us, I think we make a pretty good stab at finding what it is. Mm. And it's a shame that Donna's not here.
Yeah, it's too bad. But Michael's here.
Are you a leader?
Big shoes to fill.
What? Donna's only got size 8s.
That's a lot of followership.
Yes. Anyway, let me kick off the discussion. Introduce it the same way we did last time in case people didn't catch episode 188. I started off with a definition from that online font of knowledge, Wikipedia. I looked at the article and came away confused because I'm not kidding here. The opening sentence says, quote, leadership, both as a research area and as a practical skill, encompasses the ability of an individual, group, or organization to lead. Did you get that?
Period. Period.
Leadership is the ability to lead. Sounds like it was written
That's
by
a very high level description.
Department of Redundancy Department.
Mm. I need more info.
Leaders lead.
What if an alien was reading that? They wouldn't know.
No.
What
and you
that
know,
meant.
Lead is not defined in Wikipedia.
Mm. Oh. So
leadership about people who lead. It's not there.
It's not
C lead.
No. Mm. And I look for definitions, dictionaries, and everything. Came away none the wiser. They all have the same circular definition saying leaders lead.
Leaders lead. Okay.
And Google, it was funny because Google, the first definition that came up says, quote, cause a person to go with one by holding them by the hand a halter, a rope, etc., while moving forward.
Oh.
Sounds pretty kinky, doesn't it?
No, I'm thinking sports.
What, pulling somebody along with a halter?
You tug of war? I don't know. You pull and push?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like leadership to me. It sounds like one of those bad Triple X movies. What do you think?
No, I mean, I always think about when I think leadership, like, where does it start? Because sometimes you know, you have kids, so you see, like, when they were in kindergarten, there was always one or two kids that were natural leaders. So they have this inherent something in them that makes them, like, want to lead, and the other kids just follow them along. It's like going to recess and, you know, making up, you know, stories and so just have... Leaders like naturally being a leader.
Leaders are born?
I feel like that they are. And then they have to be developed. Or they get squashed along the way.
Uh-huh.
And then when they become adults, something happens.
Yeah, we're going to go off on tangents here. It's going to overlap what I was talking about last time, too. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Because my number 9 speech in Toastmasters was entitled Followship.
Oh.
That leadership is all about your goal is to... have people following you.
Right. You can't be a leader if there's nobody following you.
Right. And I will quote, do you remember Evelyn Easton, the district governor?
I don't remember her.
Yeah, there you go. Michael remembers her. Great lady. She said, you should always take a look over your shoulder if you're a leader. And every now and again you should look because if no one is following you, you're not leading, you're taking a walk.
That's very true.
Evie. I really liked Evie.
So is that what a leader is defined as? Is if you don't have any followers, you're just beating to your own drum.
That's true. Well, that's one of them. Let me see. Well, what I told Donna in the last episode, and I intended to mention this time too, is that I had a Toastmasters meeting not too long ago. You may have been in the audience because it was the ETS Toastmasters. I got an impromptu question, a table topic, we call it. And they said, what makes for a good leader? And off the cuff, top of the head, I answered that a good leader must have two traits, a vision and the ability to convincingly communicate.
Communicate
that vision.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have a vision,
right,
you can't lead.
Right.
And if you can't communicate it, nobody's going to know what the hell you're talking about anyway.
Yeah.
So
that makes a lot of sense. So, but more than that, I think a leader is somebody who takes on responsibility, right, of leading.
Not necessarily. Because I have
an example. Somebody who exudes confidence.
I have an example that I mentioned. I was going to mention it earlier, but I didn't think we had time for it. In 2000,
yes,
I wanted to start a new Toastmasters club for libertarians so we could learn how to communicate and lead. And I said, all right, I'm going to start holding meetings. Next thing I know, there's 20, 30 libertarians in the audience. I didn't force them there. I just said, I'm going to do this.
Oh.
So was I a leader? Arguably, yes.
Yeah.
But to my mind, I was a clerk. I filled out the paperwork. I found a room and everything like that.
Yeah.
And I just put out a notice saying, hey, I'm going to do this.
Right.
It goes back to what I said about followership. You have a vision. I had a vision of libertarians who knew how to communicate. People know libertarians are laughing at home.
Yes.
A lot of us don't.
Yeah.
I didn't. And also libertarians who know how to lead.
Yes.
And that's another bunch because we prefer to be left alone.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have followers, that makes sense.
You know, that's a definition of a libertarian salad.
What?
Let us alone.
I've never heard of that before.
I had a whole episode dedicated to libertarian humor. It was a while ago. I could look it up. I got the list here, but I'm not going to waste time on it. Instead, I'm going to take a look around and say... I don't know what I'm going to say.
You don't know what you're going to say.
I'm speechless. I'm your caster, Ken Krawchuk, and you're listening to episode 189 of the Pennsylvania Project. We're going to pause for this information, and when we return, Margaret and I will be talking more about that elusive concept known as leadership.
Here's an interesting question. Everyone's heard of the United States Constitution, but have you ever heard of the Pennsylvania Constitution? Have you ever read it? But most importantly, was it ever taught to you in school? If you're like virtually all Pennsylvanians, the answers are likely no, no, and no. Well, it's long past time we changed those answers to yes, yes, and yes. We here at the Pennsylvania Project are all about solutions. So we've authored a petition demanding that the Pennsylvania Constitution be taught to our children. If you believe it's important for our children to know how our government works, head over to our website, PennsylvaniaProject.com, and add your name to the growing list of signers. The alternative is yet another generation that has never heard of it, let alone read it. The Pennsylvania Constitution, and people wonder why nobody votes anymore.
Hey, Margaret Stoney here, cohort on the Pennsylvania Project. You know, it's easy to find a high-paying job, at least for some people it is. Employers are begging for competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. But do those words describe you? Competent leader communicates effectively? If not, or even if they do, you may want to consider joining Toastmasters. The mission of Toastmasters is to provide a supportive experience for learning communication and leadership skills. But does it really work? Hey, look at me. I joined Toastmasters and now I'm on the radio. So turn your life around like I have. Visit Toastmasters.org and contact a club near you. Visitors are always welcome, and be sure to mention you heard it on the Pennsylvania Project radio show. The future is anxiously awaiting competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. You can be that leader. It all starts at Toastmasters.org.
The following is a commercial announcement.
Hey, Michael, how's it going?
It could be better.
Why, what's the matter?
Well, I just found a great job, but I can't take it.
Why not?
They want me to go as a 1099 contractor.
So?
So what about all the taxes? Federal taxes, state taxes, this tax, that tax? I have better things to do than figuring out tax laws and filing all those forms. I'm a libertarian, remember?
Well, then what you need is Amendment 16.
Hey, it's the damn 16th Amendment that got me in this predicament in the first place.
No, Amendment 16, the invoicing service. They'll invoice your client for the hours and expenses you report to them, and when your client pays them, they pay you, minus all required state and federal taxes. It's that easy.
And they take care of all the taxes, all the forms?
Yep, one call does it all. And they could pass along certain tax breaks, too.
Well, that sounds perfect. Where do I find them?
On the web, of course, at amendment16.com, with 16 spelled out. That's amendment, SIXTEEN.com. One call does it all. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and we're back with episode 189 of the Pennsylvania Project, with more about leadership from both myself and our cohort, Margaret Sassouni.
Yes.
By the way, it's episode 33 that has the libertarian humor. I took the commercial break to take a look at it.
So, a bunch of other, way back.
Yeah. And there's one. How many libertarians does it take to change a light bulb?
How many?
None. The free market will take care of it. Yeah, some of them aren't that funny. Hey, we're libertarians. Anyway, you a Trekkie, Margaret?
I think I am, but I haven't been keeping up with all the other spinoffs that they've been doing.
Uh-huh.
So I know the original,
yep,
but I don't know anything else.
I know the original, and I watched the first five episodes of The Next Generation.
Yes, that thought, one I haven't gone
I thought,
into
this
that.
Is silly, and
yeah.
I didn't watch it.
I just have this loyalty to
yep, and I never saw
Kirk.
Any of the kickoffs except
yes.
One. I saw a Star Trek Enterprise where it was a continuation of Spock with a beard with the evil empire.
Oh, no.
That was pretty good. And I saw Star Trek Continues, which is good. Anyway, we're getting off topic here. Because 10 years ago, mm-hmm. there was a cool article in Forbes magazine.
Yes.
It was called 5 Leadership Lessons from James T. Kirk.
Oh, yes.
And it was written by Alex Knapp, K-N-A-P-P,
mm-hmm.
released on March 5th, 2012. And what I want to do is quote some excerpts from that article.
Okay.
As those 5 points that they make that Kirk is your example.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do this not only because I thought it was pretty cool, but Captain Kirk was always one of my fictional role models.
Mm, yes.
I've actually been in situations where I said to myself,
what would Kirk do?
What would Captain Kirk do? Honest to God. True story. This is before I was married. We were in an old abandoned mansion, Stotesbury, if anybody remembers, by LaSalle College High School. And the cops came.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like hiding. And the cops found us. Mm. They're actually pointing guns at us and stuff.
What?
And I'm thinking, wow, what would Kirk do? I thought, well, you know, Kirk would go along with it till he saw his opportunity. And it's just what I did. And I got away.
Oh.
Yeah.
You ran away.
Well, that's a long story. We're talking about leadership here. I didn't get shot. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Let's get to the article. All right, let me set the stage here by reading a couple sentences out of the intro.
Let's do it.
Quote, Captain James T. Kirk is one of the most famous captains in the history of Starfleet. He was a quintessential leader who led his crew into the unknown and continued to succeed time and time again. His style of command demonstrates a keen understanding of leadership and how to maintain a team that succeeds time and time again, regardless of the dangers faced.
True. They're always getting themselves in a pickle.
I know. Otherwise, the ratings start going down, right?
Yeah. But, it was always something going on.
I know.
Always an obstacle, but somewhere in space.
Or time.
Or time.
Yes. Anyway, Forbes article lists five key leadership that you could take away from Captain Kirk. And I agree with these, but I don't think they're all of them. But let me say what they said. Number one was never stop learning.
Okay.
And a couple sentences from the article, quote, Captain Kirk's reputation at the Academy was that of a walking stack of books. And one of his best demonstrations of his passion for learning is the episode where Kirk fights the Gorn captain in single combat. Captain Kirk. Yeah. Using only his knowledge of, and materials at hand, he was able to build a rudimentary shotgun and defeats the Gorn.
Hmm.
And it's interesting because that same set location was used in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure Part 2.
Little fact there.
Anyway.
I guess the more knowledge you have, the more creative you can be with solutions.
But the article goes on to say the same knowledge that drove Kirk to the stars also caused him to learn that bit of information, and it paid off for him.
Mm-hmm. So a leader has to be smart.
Yep. And following up with the article, it says, in the same way, no matter what your organization does, it helps to never stop learning.
I agree with that.
Number two, have advisors with different worldviews. And again, quoting from the article, quote, Kirk's two closest advisors are Commander Spock, a Vulcan committed to a philosophy of logic, and Dr. McCoy, a human driven by compassion and coughing. However, the very fact that Kirk has advisors who have different worldviews, not only from each other, but also from himself, is a clear demonstration of Kirk's confidence in himself as a leader. Because weak leaders surround themselves with yes men who are afraid to argue with
them.
True. How about you? Do you have any examples?
Always ask for advice, but you don't necessarily have to take it, right?
Yep, that's true. And, you know, Kirk actually says that too. You know, and, you know, I've always been transparent with my teams. And I'm thinking of Paul and Sharon and Laura.
Well, yeah, because they think that they'll add value.
That's right.
You're asking their advice because they think they'll add value. And then you may or may not take it, but hopefully they won't take offense to that.
Yep.
But the fact that you ask them means a lot.
Although they don't necessarily have that same transparency with me. I'll leave it at that. Anyway, part three.
Yes.
Lesson number three. Be part of the away team. Kirk, again, quoting from the article here. Kirk was always willing to put himself in harm's way by joining the away team. With his boots on the ground, he was always able to make quick assessments of the situation, leading to superior results. And when you're in a leadership role, it's sometimes easy to trap yourself in the corner office and forget what life is like on the front lines. When you lose that perspective, it's that much harder to understand what your team is doing. And worse yet, when you're not involved with your team, it's easy to lose their trust. And Kirk's crew trusted his decisions because he knew that he shared their risks personally.
It's like going out on the battlefield and experiencing what your troops are going through.
It is Star Trek, you know? And from my point of view, I never have any qualms about jumping into a team effort, even if it means fetching coffee.
Yeah,
Or going back.
Whatever needs to be done, especially in a war room.
Yeah.
When everybody gets together.
The goal is success.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who achieves it or how. Doesn't matter who gets the credit or why.
Right. And a leader will truly give the credit to his team and not take the credit.
Yep. Transparency. All right, move on to number four. I think we'll get through all five. This is good.
Nice.
Again, quoting the article here. In one Star Trek episode, Kirk and his crew face down an unknown vessel. Threats from that vessel escalate until it seems that the destruction of the Enterprise is imminent. Spock tells Kirk that the Enterprise has been playing a game of chess and there are no winning moves left. And Kirk counters that they shouldn't play chess. They should play poker. Yeah. He then bluffs the aliens by telling them the Enterprise has a substance in its hull called Corbomite, which reflects the energy of any weapon back to the attacker.
Ah.
The bluff enables the Enterprise crew to establish peaceful relations with the alien. Yay. And they close by saying, chess is often taken too seriously as a metaphor for leadership strategy, but it's ultimately a game of boxes and limitations. And the better analogy by far is poker, not chess. I agree with that one too.
Yeah.
Because in politics, people sometimes play chess with me. Like in the middle of debates and stuff, they make a move.
Mm-hmm.
I always stop and question the question.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem.
Yeah.
So they may have a bulletproof solution, but it's a solution to the wrong problem.
Yes.
That's one good thing.
Yeah.
Excuse me. This new studio is dusty.
Yeah.
Still gets to me every
Your
time.
Your allergies are acting up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got time for the last one.
Last one? Okay.
The fifth lesson from James T. Kirk, according to Forbes magazine, is blow up the enterprise.
No, that's never an option.
Yes. Quote, quoting from the article again, one recurring theme is that Kirk's first love is the enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Despite that love, though, there came a point in the third movie where Captain Kirk made the decision that to save his crew, he had to destroy the enterprise. But they returned victorious nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
Leaders, continuing in the article here, leaders are often driven by a passion, be it for a product or a service or a certain way of doing things. But no matter how much that passion burns within us, the reality is that times change. Different products are created, different ways of doing things are developed. And there will come a time in your life when that passion isn't viable anymore,
mm-hmm.
at a time where it no longer makes sense to pursue your passion. And when that happens, no matter how painful it is, you need to blow up the enterprise. Reminds me of a girlfriend I broke up with a long, long, long time ago, but I digress.
It was like blowing up the enterprise.
And, you know, I face this very issue with the three patents I hold. Because they were originally patented in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, in the last 10 years or so, technology's finally moved beyond them in a different direction. And while they're still valid and I still use them, they're still the basis of my professional success.
Mm-hmm.
There are better tools to solve the same problems today. Well, with that final note on leadership, that's going to have to wrap it up for episode 189 of the Pennsylvania Project. What do you think about leadership? Or Captain Kirk as a quintessential leader? Or teaching the Constitution to our kids? Or is anything somewhat Pennsylvania related? If you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com. Our webmaster, Stephen Worley. Featured Toastmaster cohort, Margaret Sassouni. Featured Toastmaster narrator, Michael Janone. Official bartender Tom Kehoe, keyboard wizard Joe the Pag, radio producer Wes Wagner, and me, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, which is, after all, what a good leader does.